Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, if you're joining us by Facebook, welcome to you. We're going to continue in our series. I just have a couple of announcements for you. So the next two Wednesday nights, there will be no service. One is Christmas Day, and the other is New Year's Day. So we'll have both those off, and you guys can enjoy family or whatever you got going on. And then don't forget about our Christmas Eve service on the 24th. That'll be at 4:30. It's a one-hour service, and we will be taking communion as well that night. We always do. We have. And then also the Men's Wild Game Feed is the 11th. January 11th at 6:30 p.m. And you'll want to sign up at the welcome table. And if you're, you know, if you think you're bringing somebody, or you have your grandsons or grandpas, if you're the grandson, whatever it is, let us know how many you're going to bring as best you can. You know, if more comes, we're not going to cry over it. So, it'll be great. Let's pray. And then I want to make one more announcement, and then we can get after this. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we're thankful for the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, who leads us and guides us into all truth. Lord, I thank you that the entrance of your words brings light, that we are facing no situation that is impossible for you to handle and to navigate us through. Lord, we fully acknowledge that in and of ourselves we can do nothing, but thankfully we're not without you, and with you all things are possible. And all things are possible with those who believe. So, Lord, we intentionally put our faith in action, believing you for understanding, revelation, knowledge. Lord, we thank you that the spirit of wisdom and revelation is operating and that our eyes are being flooded with light. We're thankful for the many good things that are happening in our lives individually and also corporately for the body. We give you the glory and the honor for everything that's taking place. And we will continue to make you the center of everything. Father, we thank you for just your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we lift our nation up to you. Father, you know what's going on, and none of it surprises you. In fact, you've prophesied about it years ago. And so we're grateful that we're on the right side, Lord, and that you are continuing to move in the government. Lord, you said that we're to pray for those that are in authority, and first of all, pray for the king. Well, we don't have a king, but we have a president. So, Father, we pray for him. We pray for those that are on the side of justice and right, those that you know that are in your plan for the fulfillment of what is to come to pass in these days and ages that we're in. And we just thank you for it, Lord, and for every other one that has that defiance in them, Father. We pray that you'd continue to open their eyes and give them opportunity to repent, Lord, and to make the right decision. But we know that these things are in your hands, Lord, and you are the judge. And so we thank you that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And Father, we can intentionally use our faith for peace. And so we do, and we declare peace, and we speak peace. And Lord, we will continue to believe and pray that way privately and corporately as a church. And we thank you that you're taking care of this nation, and that we are a nation that is under one nation under God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great opportunity to teach on authority with this stuff going on. And let me encourage you with this too. As somebody posted the other day, somebody who was supposedly a prophet, and they posted this, and this is a guy he is a believer. He's just confused and claims he had a vision from the Lord and America's going under and all this stuff. No, it's not. It's not. And even, let me just say this, even if it did, our faith is not in America. It's in God, you know what I mean? If Paul could get as much as he did done under Roman rule and the rule of Rome, we'll be all right. It will be okay, you know. People say, well, what if it comes to persecution? What if it comes to being, you know, martyred for the gospel? That is the highest level of faith that can be expressed. You know, a lot of times in America, we have this idea about Christianity, and it's been Americanized in some aspects. But you do realize, if you read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, that entire families were martyred during that time because they wouldn't deny Christ. In other words, they were pushed to the point of, you either deny Christ or your kids are going to die. And they did not deny Christ. You got to think about this. You know, you got to consider these things, pray about these things. And, you know, I kind of feel like at least at this point in my life, I'd go out in a blaze of glory, you know, if somebody was coming after my kids, you know, in regards to those things. But I know grace would be available in those things if that were the case. I'm not saying it is. I'm not prophesying to you. So don't. That's none of that is happening, okay? I know this is a Pentecostal church, but I didn't say thus saith the Lord. So, what I am saying is that we need to make sure when rough things happen, you find out what's in you. And whatever rises to the top, it can be unsettling sometimes because you think, why is that there? And then you get an opportunity to deal with it. Just because it's there doesn't mean you have to yield to it. There are things to yield to and there are things to deal with, right? And we're all in that position. I was made aware of a video today of the prophecies of Kim Clement, and me and Mike were talking about this the other day, and we had watched Kim Clement before we ever went to Bible college at Rhema, and Rhema never was against Kim Clement. But there were people in Rhema that we knew that were classmates and stuff. Mike took heat for watching Kim Clement because in their mind, he was a false prophet, you know, and all this stuff. Because he didn't do it the way he didn't do it like Brother Hagin did it. But here's the thing, so this is the type of ministry that we were under when it comes to Brother Hagin. A lot of people have different ideas about him, and some of their ideas about him are wrong because they ran into somebody who said they knew him or who said they came from Rhema, you know, and maybe they just didn't present it the best. You know, I mean, all of us can make mistakes, and sometimes we form ideas without really getting full evidence first. Because people do. They make mistakes, and they do things, and they try and mimic people rather than having a relationship with the Lord. And how many know God is not creating division in his own body? He's not. He's not a part of it. He's not. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't disagreement on things. I understand that. But love, how many have a family? How many disagree in your family? If you don't, there's something wrong with your family. Okay? Because, you know, I've never met a married couple that's healthy that don't disagree on things. I said that's healthy. Because if it's all agreement all the time, there's no need for submission. All right, so we're not going to get into that anyway. I'm going to keep that out. Where did that come from? Somebody control the flows that are coming out of the Spirit for me. Okay. No. So you're going to have disagreement in the body of Christ on things. And you know what? When I'm wrong, I should admit it. Right? Now, who else does that go for? Everybody in here, right? If we missed it, guess what? We missed it. I know it's a shocker that we're not God. You know, because what, and we have to go back to this again and again. In all that we know, knowledge puffs up, love edifies. So what does that mean? That doesn't mean remain stupid. Okay, that doesn't mean remain ignorant. And when I say stupid or ignorant, I'm not calling names. I'm just saying we don't remain in that place. We search for answers. How many have answers today that 20 years ago you may have been convinced were not of God? So we're growing in this, right? And you know, it's okay if somebody comes to me and says, you know, I believe this, this, and this, and this. And I go, okay. And they may think I agreed. I just said I understand what you believe. It doesn't mean I agree. But you know what? I'm not required to. I'm required to love. And love is not fake. Love is genuine care, right? It's genuine concern. Love is laying down your life for another. That doesn't mean you have to agree with something that's wrong. It means that you are going to do things for their benefit. That is going to, I'm going to use what I have for the edification of this person. So many of you, obviously, most of you, have had kids. Did you just do everything for their edification in comfort and just soft tones and words and, You know what I mean? See, we got to get this balance because there's so much psychology functioning in the church, and it's formed out of the souls of believers instead of the Spirit of God. See, you can't even function in your mind properly without having the foundation of the Word first. Let me ask you a question. Who gave you the emotion? Who gave you the mind? God did, right? So you can't even understand psychology without understanding resurrection as the base first. Because you cannot navigate. This is amazing to me. Maybe it's not amazing to me. Maybe that's not the best way to say it. I need to start saying some of these things differently. It's surprising to me. But I know it is. It comes out of ignorance, not rebellion. How many Christians don't know how to control their emotions. Even myself at times. But you know, I will say this, the closer I get to the Lord and the more I know about Him, the more I'm able to, I have my senses trained to discern both good and evil. Because you do realize good is flowing through your soul and evil can flow through your soul if you let it. You know, the enemy can stir up your emotions. You can be crying over something that's not even true. You can be, I'm not talking about in your personal life, I'm talking like just a movie. Come on. You know? I mean, I'm not going to go there because I don't want to reveal that about me. Mike and Jody know, and that's it. They're laughing about it right now. So that's an inside joke, and sorry, you're just out. I can't help you, sorry. No, but you can be angry at something that is not there. There are people watching lies in the news media that are raging mad, and it's not even true. It's not even true. So that being said, with all of those things, the nation and what's going on, believing God and being in balance, using our faith and moving forward. So I was given this video to listen to today, and it's actually a combination of things, of prophecies by Kim Clement, and then news clips jockeyed together in there. And the distance between the prophecies and the news clips are anywhere from 3 to 6 years difference. Because Kim Clement went home to be with the Lord, I think in 2017. It was right after Trump was elected or somewhere in there, okay? And he prophesied that Trump would be president and that he would serve 2 terms. Well, let me help you with something. Kim Clement prophesied that Clinton would beat Bush Sr., he prophesied that Bush Jr. would win 2 terms. He prophesied that Obama would be a 2-termer. And he prophesied, we're halfway through, Trump would be 2. Okay? So he got 4 of them right. And as with most prophets, you're not totally accepted until you're dead. So he went home to be with the Lord because he was like, we got to get this thing through. So, no, in all seriousness, I mean, that's just reality, okay? So, and I watched the rest of this video today, and I'm going to post it on my Facebook. Not necessarily, there are a few clips in there that are out of secular things, so there's some language in it, so just be aware of that. It's not horrible, it's just, you need to be aware of that. You know, it's not like a rated R movie type thing, but they just use different language. And then what I would choose to use. But anyway, so that's in there. And then also, you know, consider it. I'm not telling you it's all gospel, but look at it, consider it, listen to the words, look at the evidence the gentleman presents, and then make an assessment for yourself. I think for the most part, I mean, I think it's pretty good. You know, there's a lot there that's really good. I enjoyed it. And how many know that you have to just, when it comes to prophetic things, that these things come through us, through people. And so you have to eat the meat and kind of spit out the bones, you know. But God understands who he's using as far as the vessels. And on our natural side, we can be perfect in heart and not perfect in expression. And I really believe this guy has a really good heart. It's interesting because the gentleman, I know who he is because Terry told me about him years ago. How many have heard of Mike Murdoch? He's a TV preacher guy. He has the prosperity bent. This guy that does this video broke into his house and robbed it. Went to jail. It's that same guy, Trey Smith. Yeah, that's his name. Well, he repents over that in this video. The book he wrote, he took it down. He said, I disagree with the guy on things, but you know what? He's my brother. And the Lord warned him and told him. He had movie deals on this book. He was making money. And the Lord said, pull it. And in tears, he repented and pulled it and made it right with this Mike Murdoch. I've not watched him much. I've seen him a few times. But anyway, it's really good. The heart, the way it comes, all of that stuff, it's really good. You'll enjoy it, I think, and listen to it, think about it. And don't let others think for you, okay? Don't let others pray for you. Don't let others be led for you in that sense with these things. Look at it for yourself. See if it bears witness with your heart. I honestly believe in watching the clips and different things and what's going on. Obviously, for those of you that are, those of us that have voted for Trump or believe that he's God's man for this hour, you do realize that the Senate is controlled by the Republicans. You realize that. The Senate is that judiciary branch that holds it can't go anywhere past them. You understand? So, and it's not going to on that end. But what I really want to see happen is, and it will happen, Kim Clement says this in there. He says, highly embarrassing moments will arise when another Snowden arises. There'll be another Snowden. This is in 2014 that he prophesied this. That another Snowden will... How many know what Snowden did? Okay, he dumped everything out there for everybody to see. Which was probably the Lord. What do you bet? People say, well, but it exposed the Republican Party. There are people in the Republican Party that need to be out. I don't care what they... The platform is right for me in that group, okay, as far as what I've seen. But let me tell you this. That doesn't mean everybody in those positions have a right heart. And the bigger issue a lot of times with those people, I'm not saying it's a bigger issue morally, is... Because I vote along the lines of what God tells me to vote on. I don't vote based, my first thing that I look at is not level of taxes. It's life of humans. Okay, way before, are you kidding me? You think God's going to let me go under if I vote with him? See, I don't need the government to be my supply. Okay, so anyway. I'm getting a hand raised in the back from Bruce Moudreau back there, who's running usher out there. Bless you, brother. I'm with you. He's listening out there. But if I vote with the Lord and I vote the biblical values that are in Scripture, he's not going to let me go under. You understand that? And he won't let you either. There's always a way. People say, well, you know, my prosperity will go down if, you know. No, no, no. Joseph didn't seem to suffer. Come on. We gotta think and believe God first. Our first motivation cannot be those things. But there are people in the Republican Party that they just love money. They absolutely love money. Just don't think the pharmaceutical industry is going to keep going the way it has forever, because it won't. It'll get readjusted. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's like Trump did this. It's like he had this big anchor, and he knows the world financial system because he's worked in it for years. So when he got into office, he had this anchor in his pocket, and he went, whoosh, and it landed behind him, and it's attached to him still, and he's just dragging it through all the money of the world. Going like this. And they're all going, the one world government isn't going to happen. Bingo. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, so I think it's funny. Because the enemy thinks he knows. And what do we know from Scripture? He's known the end from the beginning. In other words, God didn't even start until he already put the end on. Wow, huh? That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Amen? Anyway, I'm not going to preach on that, even though I did. Okay, so just be encouraged. Don't be moved. Now, if the news moves you, then don't watch it. Okay? But I'm going to post that, and I think you should watch it. Watch it, share it, do whatever you want with it. I'm going to post it on Facebook for myself, but then I'll post it on the church Facebook as well. It's an hour long, but it's good. I think you'll be blessed by it. So the Lord is on our side, amen? So we're thankful for that. And we're not just looking for judgment, but I will tell you this, Kenneth Copeland prophesied about 2020, and he did say that there will be some that are removed through election in judgment in 2020, and there will be some that die. So keep your eyes open, amen? And pray for those ones that could die. You know, God's not wanting them to go to hell, okay? He's not looking for that. And we shouldn't be either, no matter how we feel about it, okay? So my feelings don't matter. The word matters. So we need to keep that in mind. It's an opportunity to walk by faith. Okay, let's go to Luke 10, shift gears here, and go to our kind of our staple, our main scripture here that we've been going to, talking about authority. It says this, Luke 10:17, it says, "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" Now, you know what I noticed about this? And I was listening to somebody preach on this, not out of this, they were preaching on this scripture, but not talking about authority. But notice it's the 70 returned. You know who that doesn't include? The 12. It doesn't include the 12. So there is another argument in Scripture that authority, signs, wonders, miracles are not just for the apostles. Right there. Because those were the 70 that were appointed after. So it's the 70 that returned. I never saw that before. And I thought, oh, there you go again, Lord, sneaking them in there. You know, sneaking those gold nuggets in there. You know what I mean? Those precious things. And I saw that, I thought, my goodness, there it is. So the 70 returned, and he said to them, he said to who? The 70. "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Now, we looked at this, and trample means to advance by setting foot upon. To advance by setting foot upon. You're called to advance in your personal life and in the realms of your jurisdiction by setting your foot upon the enemy. Why can you set your foot upon the enemy? Because Jesus has what? He's raised you up together with him and caused you to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, right? That's why you have authority over the enemy. Now, when we get into these things and we start looking more into the jurisdiction, into the authority that we do have, and we hit on this before, we'll hit on it again, some of these truths can be taken to an extreme. They can be taken too far. And they can be misconstrued. Let me put it to you like this. In the body, we are not the head. Make sense? Okay. So the body is controlled by what? The head, right? So in the body, we are not the head. Now, I'm going to hold that thought in your mind because I'm going to come back to that later. But I just want to give a precursor to that. Because sometimes when you study these things and begin to look at these things in zeal, you can begin to think, I'm taking over the world. You know, it's not Pinky in the Brain. You know, they kept failing, you know, in their deal. We collectively have authority as the church. But how many know Satan's still running the show down here? He's the god of this world. Why? Because he has a lease. It's called Adam's. Amen? And most people don't say amen there, but it's true nonetheless. He's run. How many have noticed he's still doing things? And as long as there will be a human that will yield to him, you will have manifestations of the enemy in the earth. It will happen. Amen? And how many know this? We do not have authority over other people's wills. Come on. Right? Now, there are things we can cause major wreckage for the enemy in. I mean, just going back to the election thing, if all evangelical or Christians in general voted in line with the scripture, we could cause major problems for those. We could go to the popular vote. I don't think we ever should. I think it's a terrible idea. I think God set up the Electoral College, of course. But what I'm saying is that we have enough together if we're unified to do exactly, we could change every state if we would just get together on the same page and move forward. I'm not holding my breath on that one, okay, as far as that goes. But I know the Lord is going to have a unified body himself. So, and that's for him to work out, but I'm believing with him. Do you know he prayed that it would happen before he left? Do you know that I can believe with him for that to happen? Okay, just as a thought. But so to tread means to advance, or to trample means to advance by setting the foot upon. And then we have authority. Authority is the power of one whose will and commands must be obeyed by others. Who's the one that has to obey us? The devil does. How do we know he has to, how can we be secure in the authority and the fact that in using our faith, in resisting him and knowing that he's gonna flee? We submit, therefore, to God. We resist the devil and he flees. He flees, right? So where does the confidence come from? You and I are not the strength. All we are doing is functioning within the boundaries of the covenant. Now, people, I've heard people say this, and there's this, they quote this scripture. They say, they quote Mark 11, 23 and 24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And Jesus said, ask the Father anything in my name and I'll give it you. And people will emphasize things like, see, I can have whatever I desire in the name of Jesus. Let me give you a picture. Inside the boundaries of the covenant. Well, I want. And people, you know, when you don't know Scripture, when you don't know the boundaries of the covenant. Now listen, guys, the boundaries of the covenant are nice. Come on, they're broad. It just can't be, you know, people think, well, I have a desire for that other person's spouse. Whatsoever things you desire. Here's the thing. What you don't realize is, Kenneth Copeland preached this all over the place. There was a lady that wanted to be his wife, felt like God told her that. First of all, slow your roll. I mean, I think Gloria would have something to say about it. You know what I mean? She had a mock wedding as an act of faith. Guys, in the name of Jesus, it has to be in the boundaries of the covenant. That's why this book, that's why we do 1 year Bible reading things. So that we can go over this and over this and over it and help with the crazy thinking that can happen. We need balance. You know, in these things, there has to be balance. And if we don't have it, we get in trouble. All right, let's scoot on down to 1 Corinthians 12. I want to hit the body of Christ. So we are, this is where I left off. I ran through it last week. And I'm going to hit it a little better this time. We are the body of Christ. So Jesus is the head of the body, and we are the body. So let me put it to you like this. This hand right here, it belongs to God. This is God's hand. Now, watch this. Naturally, this physical hand is God's, because he's not going to give me a different look. He's just going to glorify this. God already owns this. He signed the title deed, or maybe I signed it and handed it back to him, even though he gave it to me first, but he gave me free will. So in my will, I willed it back. Why? Because I figured out he's going to raise it and make it like Jesus' body. That's good news. So I'm not disappointed, you know. And some people, I've heard preachers say, I wish I was taller. I mean, in heaven, I'm going to be taller. You won't be insecure in heaven. You know what I mean? Now, obviously, there'll be no sin at all affecting our bodies at that point. And Jesus ate food. People say, well, does he have to go to the bathroom? There's no waste. It's glorified. There's no death. Do I need to spell this out? I think you get the idea. It's glorified. It's made new. You can walk through walls. I'm most excited about that. I'm sure there'll be other things to be excited about, but come on. Talk about no need for doors or anything. So much easier, right? There's no boundaries. You just wham, wham, wham. You know, it's going to be great. Anyway, so this body, we are the body of Christ. Yes, we are the temple of God. But even in your physical, it will be glorified and it is paid for right now and purchased by the blood of Jesus and the death of Jesus. It's already done. You don't need to try and talk the Lord into it. Paid for. It's done. You received. It's done. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 12:12 says this, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So we see Christ's body is made up of what? Many people who are born again. He is the head and we are the body. Verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. This is great. In other words, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. What body was that? That was the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I don't want to confuse you or anything, but if you think about genetics, DNA, stuff like that, how the progression of science talks about that we all came from Adam and Eve DNA. It all goes back to the same, Adam and Eve. So in Adam and Eve was the Savior. Why do you think the Revelation talks about wanting to destroy the birth of the child? Why do you think destroying of babies is such a big deal? Satan's so confused. You know, at this point, he's like, which one is it? Did he already come? I don't know. Maybe he didn't come. Maybe he's still coming. He is so just, he's got a plan, but he's not looking at it from God's perspective. Okay? He's not an inventor. He's a perverter. That's what he does. He perverts what's there. But he does have organization because he learned things from God as he served under him. Okay? So, about how to operate things. We'll get into that in a second. So chapter 12, skip down to verse 27. It says this, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So you don't want to hurt other people from other denominations. I don't care if there's a preacher on TV that you just do not like. You bless them in the name of Jesus. Because if they believe what you believe, that Christ is the only way, and they've received him into their heart, which I'm telling you, you don't want to go down the path of trying to judge those things in people. It's just dangerous, right? If they have, people say, well, I just can't watch that. Don't watch them then. Bless them and turn the channel. Watch a John Wayne. You know, I mean, go find something else, you know, to watch. But don't just sit there and let ramp up inside of you, you know, because you don't want to do that. It'll cause problems. So 1 Corinthians 6:15 says, do you not know that your bodies are the members of Christ? Isn't that good? What are our bodies? They are the members of who? Christ. That doesn't say spirit, does it? I mean, our spirit is one with him, but that's talking about your physical body as the member of Christ. So then he goes on to say, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them a member of a prostitute? A harlot. Now, why is Paul writing this to the Corinthian church? Because they used to worship Diana, the goddess of fertility, and their worship was, they had temple prostitutes. And they were, that was worship. That was, I don't know if it was Sunday, but they'd all go to that temple and have sex with one another. Can I just say something? Nothing new under the sun. And if you read about, you study the history of the Corinthians, you know what the wonderful thing about all of that is? When I was reading through these things and studying these things, Paul says, he goes through this list of those that were participated in the prostitution, they participated in homosexuality, they participated in all these sins. And then at the end he said, in which you once were. He said, but now you are sanctified. And I'm reading that stuff, I go, there is nothing the devil has that grace has not given me victory over. So if I won't quit and I'll continue to move forward with the Lord, I will walk in more and more holiness, sanctification, purity, because my body was not meant for a prostitute. My body was meant for the Holy Spirit to glow through. Just like yours. Your body, your clothing that you buy was meant to carry the anointing. Peter knew it, right? Paul knew it. He said, boys, bring me all the handkerchiefs you can. Right? Why? Because the head said, lay them on me. You know, there have been a lot of people, if news would have been around then, like it is today. Preacher thinks he's God, thinks he can send the anointing off his body. Now, he didn't think. He knew. Come on. Doesn't that defy just a little bit to lay hands and cast a demon? I'm just going to send a piece of this cloth. Don't you love it? I love it. God's like, we can do it through that. That's porous. You read John G. Lake. They used to pray over their letters. And people would pick the letter up and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Start speaking in tongues when they pick the letter up. Start shaking. Isn't that amazing? Now we send emails. All right. Everybody would want your newsletter if that happened. You know, where's the newsletter? Sit down in the chair. We don't want you to fall over this time. Oh, God's good. So we are the members of God. We are His members. The believer in these passages, if you go in 2 Corinthians 14, he talks about not being unequally yoked, but if you go down to verse 16, he says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, what? I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I was reading that this morning and I was thinking about it and meditating on it. And I was thinking, well, Lord, the point here is that we are the body of Christ. Well, if I take Shane and I stand him up here and then I take Elijah and stand him next to Shane, what do I see? The Father is in the Son. And you as a child of God, what do you have? The Father is in the sons and daughters. And that makes you what? A part of Him. Is Elijah a part of Shane and Lindsay? Yeah. He's a byproduct. What are you? You're the byproduct of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You are His body. Amen? Do you see that? Don't you love, some of you are getting this. I can feel it. It's like, man, that's great. How many sense that when you hear these words, your confidence goes up? Do you know why? That's faith coming. How many ever sat in a church service and went, I don't know. I'm confused. How many have gone away from a church service depressed? Faith did not come. You did not hear the scriptures. The scriptures impart something. And it's not just the preacher. The preacher just gets to be the avenue. You don't even have to feel anything. If you believe the scriptures and you share those scriptures with somebody, there comes light, there comes glory, there comes anointing, there comes the authority that Jesus purchased for us and God ratified with his right hand. Why? Because it's his word. This will take the fear and the nervousness out of sharing what you believe. Just share what he said. And in that, God goes, well, they're a covenant person. I said I would back my word up. They're sharing my word. You can walk away going, Lord, you better back it up because I believed it when I said it. And leave it to him because he's working. Now, in every area. Come on, some of you are in situations that look bleak or hopeless, whether it be a family member personally or something like that. Listen, the Lord's working if you prayed about it and spoke. He's working. And you need to learn to do this, and this is part of authority. In the middle of what's going on, you need to learn to stand up and go, devil, the word's working. I don't care what you say or the picture you put in my mind. Amen? In the areas where you have jurisdiction, you can run him out. You have authority. Now, are you saying, preacher, that you can make the person do what you want? No, I'm not. But I guarantee you they will see as clear as day. And you know what? I will say this. From experience, the Lord can be very convincing. He can convince like you can't. Amen? Come on, you need to get bold in your prayers for those situations. You need to get down on your knees and go, God, if you got to send an angel, I don't care if you got to draw them out of their body and show them your face. Come on. You got to get bold with it. Who do you think was praying for Paul? I mean, Saul, before he was Paul. You know what it got down to, right? Lord, knock him off his feet. Knock him down, Lord. Jesus was like, look it, they're praying for that guy. He's running around. You know what Jesus said to him? He didn't say, Saul, Saul, why are you being so mean to my kids? He said, why are you persecuting me? Which means his church is his body. Amen. And I did not study that. I just saw it. The Lord, come on, think about this. When an enemy is coming against you, I don't care what it is, anything that steals, kills, or destroys, the Lord takes it personally. Come on, that ought to give you confidence. That ought to rise faith up inside you. Going, devil, you do realize who you're touching, right? Come on, you get a little bit of a lean, you know, like, go ahead, boy. But just remember, I'm one of them crazy ones that will believe no matter what I see or feel. Well, that sounds like a cult. Sounds like faith to me. Sounds like scripture to me. Sounds like I'm pretty sure they called Jesus crazy and I'm pretty sure they called Paul crazy. I just want to join the ranks. I don't even need to be the top crazy one. I just want to be in there. I want to get to heaven and the Lord looks at the rest of the people around and go, this is Sean. He was crazy for me. They called him crazy. That's all right. You know what I mean? Because why? Because I believe this word? Well, it just means I don't function naturally. I function spiritually. And when you function spiritually, most of the world is going to look at you at this point and go, huh? That's all right though. Because we're not functioning this. We're functioning in the authority and the belief of the scripture from the standpoint of knowing. We're doing this for other people. This has been such a revelation to me, even great. I mean, I understood it before, but it's gotten even stronger in the last just months. It's just intensified and intensified. The scripture where Paul talks about, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. He's not talking about the Lord. He's doing it for the Lord. But who's he doing it for? He said that to the Corinthian church. I'm going to go ahead and just give it all. How can you do that with joy? How can you do that with joy? Well, that's my time. Come on, how can you do that? How can you pray for somebody sincerely from the heart who has hurt you and treated you terrible? It takes God. You know, the scripture says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Shed abroad. So what I've realized through the years, for me personally, is that in order to get to that place, you gotta force out things in your head by your authority and get down into your heart and deal with things and let God deal with you. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? You gotta get down in there, and it gets nitty gritty down inside there. It's like, how many have ever done this in prayer and the Lord goes, this is what you're doing. You're like, ooh, I don't want to look at that. You know, it like scares you. You know, you're like, ah, no. And then you're thinking to yourself, that couldn't have been in there. Oh yeah, it could be in there. Buried under scar tissue, buried under, come on, for years. But if you'll get in the secret place, this is actually, I'm going to tell off on Susan here in a good way. We were in corporate prayer, and the Lord had showed her about the secret place with the Lord. There's a place that you each individually have that's only for you and Him. Not even your spouse. I said, not even your spouse. Where you can go and go, Lord, and you'll get in there and talk with Him, and nobody else is allowed there. It's that place of intimacy. You shut the door. Nobody goes there. It's the secret place. And in those places, I've found, in going through things and different things, everybody's had them. There's no temptation, but such is common to man. And everybody's had them, and they are real, and they do hurt. I was telling my kids today before we left, and I was talking to Ian about something, and I said, ooh, that hurt your feelings. He's like, no, it didn't. You know, he's trying to be tough. I said, buddy, everybody's feelings get hurt. I said, it's just how we handle it. Everybody's does. You know, I'm not the exception to the rule. I was made in God's image and likeness. Do you know God can be hurt? Read through your scriptures. You'll see it. There were things that grieved Him, that disappointed Him. But did God fall apart and quit being who He is? No. Why? And people say, well, it's because He's God. Well, yes, He is God. But what has He placed within you? His nature. Tap it. There can be such healing, freedom, deliverance. Oh, and you can look at people that have just absolutely raked you over the coals and go, I love you. And legitimately, not like, you know, I love you. I have to love you. I'm going to do it. No, it's not there yet. Good. That's a good direction, I guess, in the sense of at least you're going after it, you know, but you need to spend a little more time with the Lord, because how many have noticed that the Lord gives you a perspective that you just don't have? And have you noticed this? He softens you to the situation. Why? Because I am not the judge. You know, the scripture says, vengeance is mine. And I'm with Jesse Duplantis. Sometimes I'm like, no, Lord, let it be mine. I'll take care of this. I've got a people permit, and I've got a 9mm. I will take care of this, you know. People think, how can you think that way? You have flesh too. Don't even go there. You all have had those thoughts. There's nobody that hasn't. We're human. We got flesh. We are called to control it. Amen? So you notice I'm not in prison. The only thing I will go to prison for is preaching when it's just told to me that it was illegal. And I couldn't do it. That's the only thing. I won't go for anything else. Okay? Do you promise you won't too? Just so, okay, we're in agreement? All right. We are the body of Christ. We can't have church in there. Oh, I would have church in there. I guarantee you I would have church in there. I'd be going to the book of Acts and going, Lord, you did it for Paul. Loose them all, Lord. We're gonna get some security guards, some officers inside of here saved today. You know? Be me and Mike next to each other, and I won't let him sing. But I will sing. He can do the praying, I'll do the praising. All right. So we have authority over the enemy, and we're part of the body of Christ. See, the enemy gained jurisdiction, and I want to go here. Genesis 1:28. We're close to being done. I kind of got on a little side journey there, but sometimes those can help you as much as anything. Genesis 1:28. This is where the enemy got in. And we need to look at this again. It says, Genesis 1:28 says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Is that God's word? Will. It's God's word, but is that God's will? What is God's desire for you and me? Be fruitful and multiply. Okay, so he said, fill the earth and what? Have. The word subdue means to keep under. It means to bring into subjection. It means to force. Does that sound like submit to God and resist the devil? Or force the devil out? Okay, Jesus said, in my name you shall what? Trample, tread up, to advance by placing the foot upon. Does that sound like subduing? See, originally, what did Adam not do? He didn't subdue. Who got in? How did Adam's life go after that? Now, we have a second Adam who didn't screw it up and gave you authority back. Now, at the end of all this, everything will be restored back to before Satan was in. Okay? But currently, if you don't function in your authority and subdue, what will the devil be allowed to do in your world? You have to subdue. Okay, now watch this word. Okay? Dominion. It means to tread down. In the Hebrew, it means to tread down. Does that sound like I give you authority to tread? How is Jesus doing this? How can he say that? Because he's the second Adam. He is restoring, come on, he's restoring back to the body, back to the his crowning creation is not a fish. It is not the almost extinct owl somewhere. It is not a shrimp in the ocean. His crowning achievement, the main thing that God created, the glory of his creation, was not everything around humanity. It was humanity. It was humanity. So his crowning, what is he doing? He's restoring back to the original place that Adam lost. And how's he doing it? By grace through faith. Okay? Now watch. So let's look at this some more. Go over to Genesis 3:1. And this is where we left off last week, just in time to quit tonight. But Genesis 3:1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' And then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" They didn't know about evil prior to then. What's evil? Because when you walk in the cool of the day with the Lord, you don't learn evil. You just don't, right? That's not the Lord. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were what? So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So what did we talk about last week at the end? Why were they naked? To be naked is to be what? Unclothed. To have no clothing. What do we know about clothing? Clothing can easily define rank. Right? In the military, it's that way. So what did they lose? They lost their rank. Not because God took it away from them. Because they took what God had given them and gave it away. Do you know most of what Satan does in believers' lives is he talks them out of what God has given them and they hand it over to the enemy? You don't have to. You need to go back through the things where you realize, as the Scripture has enlightened you and the Holy Spirit has enlightened you, as the Holy Spirit has risen up within you and said, "Remember this? The enemy took it." You need to go back and go, "Give me that back. In the name of Jesus, I will not give that up." And then he's going to come to you and say, "Well, you did this wrong." And you need to say, "I don't remember it. Do you, Lord?" Come on. You need to include the Lord. Because if you ask for forgiveness, where is it? It's gone, Johnson. Come on. If I was preaching in confidence right now based on what I did before I was saved, I mean, yeah, nobody would be listening. But you know what you don't hear or sense come out of me? Any of those things. You want to know why? Because they don't exist. They don't. They're gone. I'm under the blood. I rolled in it. I was dipped in it. Come on, I go to the mercy seat and go, "The Lord, it's here, right here." And he says, "Clean." I don't go there, "Lord, look how nice I was to Mike the other day." You know, "Lord, look at all these things that," I don't do that. I recognize, "Lord, I was able to be nice to Mike because of this." Because I'm working from, not working for. And so are you. So are you. So in your business, you need to walk into it. In your marriage, you need to walk into it. In your family, you need to walk into it and go, "I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I declare the blood of Jesus over my kids, my family, my business, everything. I declare it. I declare it. I declare it." And don't quit. Make it. Guys, this is something that principle teaching doesn't work in. Principles are good, and principle teaching is good, and faith principles are good. But if you're just doing them out of mechanics, it won't work. It's what Pastor Larry talked about when he was here. You got to have that fellowship. You know, you got to have those moments with the Lord, whether it be corporately or individually, where you're just on the floor going, oh God, you're good, and you're weeping. And then in those other, and out of that, you walk into situations in your life, in the conversation of your life, you're declaring, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. I watched this happen with Terry after he had his, he had something done with his heart. I think they put a stent in, right, or something like that. And in the process of that, they figured out that he had a stroke. How many remember he was wearing the eye patch? You know, we were teasing him about being a pirate. It was fun. See, you know, here's the thing, guys, too. We were teasing him about that. But, you know, we were in faith. We were just joking. You know, some people are like, oh, don't call him a pirate. He'll be a pirate forever. He's going to become a pirate. He'll have a peg leg, you know, hook for a hand. No, we were just goofing around. No, and one day we were over at their house, and he said, the Lord told me you and Heidi are supposed to pray for me. So we laid hands on his eyes. Not that hard. We did nice. And we started praying over him and praying in tongues and just blessing him and declaring healing and stuff like that. And it was how long after that? Our faith united together, and you were what? Next day. Yeah, everything. Do you know how much anointing I felt go through me into him? None. What does it matter what I feel? It would have been nice if I would have felt what I did on Sunday. But if I went by feelings, I wouldn't get up in the morning and do my devotion. I wouldn't. I make my body a slave. And I'm getting better than... We're growing, right? He who began a good work in us will what? Complete it. I'm counting on him completing it. Amen? Wow, I didn't get where I wanted to. But that's just my head. We got exactly done what we needed to get done. Amen? Father, we just bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together and have faith put into us. Faith increased. Light given to our eyes. Lord, we purpose to be doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. God bless you guys.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.